Today's scripture is from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son through me. I pray, Father, that you will hide me behind the cross, that they may see none of me, but they will see thee. I pray, Father, that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In 1979, in Kings Island, 1979, there was a roller coaster that was introduced to the world. And the roller coaster was the Beast. And so at this time, I'm about 8, 9 years old. And you know, first thing you gotta do is you gotta walk up, you gotta see if you're tall enough to even ride the roller coaster. And so then you gotta go in and out, in and out, in and out. And all that does is just bring anxiety, you know. 8 or 9 years old, and I'm sitting here. And one of the things about the Beast that's different from the rest of the roller coasters is when you go in Kings Island and you can see all the other roller coasters. You can see the hills, you can see the turns, but you cannot see that when it comes to the Beast. How many riders of the Beast do I have in here? Yeah, y'all know. Y'all know. So when you get on the Beast, you know, you get up there and you get on that platform and your heart is just boom, 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 boom. And so you just got a lot of anxiety. So you get in the car, and so there are people on the platform, and part of their job is to make sure that you're safe and secure for the ride. Now, they get you in the car, you get in the car, you sit down, and so they come by and they put the lever down. They push the lever down for you. And so one of the things they'll do is they'll kind of pull on it to make sure it's locked. And so you're sitting there and you're like, Lord, please don't let this thing come up. And so one of the things they'll do is, you know, it's maybe like 3 or 4 of them. Then you got the controller. He's kind of sitting over to the side. And then they'll do this. And they'll say, clear. And so now you're ready to take this ride. So you're going up this hill and this thing is just moving slow. Click, 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 click. And you're going up there and you're going up there and you get to the top of that hill. And all you see is woods. That's what's so amazing about the Beast. You can't see the tracks. You get up there and you drop down that first hill. You go into the tunnel. And I mean, you just like this. You shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking. And so remember the people on the platform, their job was to make sure that I was safe and secure. Up and down, turns, hills, all of that good stuff. And so when you come back to the platform and you're breathing heavy and you're saying, wow, I made it. I made it. Somebody was there to make sure that I was safe and secure. So today, what we're going to look at is someone else who makes sure that we are safe and secure. The ups and downs of life, the turns, the things we cannot see, the tunnels. He makes sure that we are safe and secure. Today we're going to talk about divine safety and security. And we're going to pick this up in Psalm 121. And in Psalm 21, it's the second of 15 songs of ascent. These particular psalms will be sung by pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem for the 3 annual feast. Passover is in the spring, Pentecost is in the early summer, and the Tabernacles is in the autumn. Each of these songs of ascent comes from the root, the root means to go up, to ascend up. And so the pilgrims, they sang these songs together as they journeyed in family groups to Jerusalem. And it was about maybe a 2 to 3 week journey that they would take with each other. And so they would, as they journeyed and walking together, when they go to Jerusalem, this helped keep their focus, their minds on what the Lord had done for the nation. These visits would remind them that spiritually speaking, they needed to depend on the Lord, kind of like how we come every 7 days to remind us of our dependency on the Lord. So that's what they were doing. They were taking a journey to Jerusalem for these three feasts. And it would take them about 2 to 3 weeks to get there. And so the Psalms were when reading the Psalms, we must remember the Psalms fall into the literature category of poetry. So we can't build church doctrine off the Psalms. These are just songs to remind us of God's love for us, for the nation. And so what we will see from Psalms 121, we'll see God is a trusting helper. God is an attentive keeper. God is a timely protector. God is a total preserver. So let me set this up for us. Divine safety and security. The apostate Jews worshiped other gods at the shrines, the high places in the hills. The hills sheltered bandits. There was all kind of stuff going on in the hills. And they were also home to pagan gods who lived among the high places. In Jeremiah 3:23, it says, "Truly the hills are a delusion, the orgies on the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." But the faithful people of God looked above the hills to the great God that created all things. When the travelers caught sight of Jerusalem, situated on the mountains, they knew God dwelt there in his sanctuary, and he provided the help they needed. In verses 1 and 2, we see God is a trusting helper. God's protection, guidance, and support. Look at it, what it says. It says, "I lifted my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Now, I'm not sure what the psalmist was doing before he wrote this, but for whatever reason, his eyes were not up. So the first thing I see when I look at this text, I see a change in posture. A change in posture, because he says, "I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes." The psalmist lifted up his eyes. So when he lifted up his eyes and he looked across the hills, now we just discussed the hills got all kind of stuff going on the hills. But when he saw Jerusalem, he saw hope. His change of posture brought him a change of perspective. Don't miss that now. He lifted up his eyes. When he looked across the hill, he saw a different perspective. He saw hope. A changed posture, changed perspective. Then he asked himself a question. Now, sometimes you got to talk to yourself, you know. You get up in the morning and, you just kind of got to get yourself going. So the psalmist is getting this, he's trying to get himself going. And so he asks his own self a question. He says, "Where does my help come from?" And then he makes a confident proclamation. He said, "My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord." This is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The psalmist believes that his help comes directly from Yahweh. The psalmist is saying, "God is my ultimate source who created the heavens and the earth." His help comes from the creator and not the creation. The one who spoke heaven and earth into existence. See, if I was sitting over there, I would say, preach, Pastor G. All right, I'm preaching. Because see, y'all missed it. This is God, the God of the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. You see, this is showing his power. And guess what? All he had to do was speak it into existence. So think about this. Think about your little problems that you have. You go to the maker of heaven and earth. Now look at your problem compared to the maker of heaven and earth. That should shout you right there. As you and I journey through life, what are the heels in your life this morning? Job loss, marital issues, death of a loved one, health concerns, wayward kids, depression, fear. Do those personal heels have you discouraged this morning? The maker of heaven and earth wants to help you this morning if you let him, by changing your posture. Let your posture dictate your perspective. And then guess what? You'll make that same bold proclamation. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. See, I'm not focused on the hills. I'm not focused on my problems. I'm focused on the one that made heaven and earth. And he just spoke it into existence. So I brought somebody in with me this morning to help me illustrate this point. I brought somebody with me. We can get that slide. All right, this is Onyx. This is our French bulldog. And you see that little blue outfit he got on? That's an Easter outfit. That's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole nother sermon. But trust me now, Onyx is going to help us. He's going to illustrate this point for us. So most of the time, I get home before my wife does. And so most of the time, she will call and she'll say, hey, I'm on my way home. And she'll say, where's my baby? Now, she ain't talking to me. She's talking about that baby. And so I'll say, he's here. Okay, when I come home, I'm going to beat him up. I said, okay. So she'll come in. And so he loves for you to chase him. And so he runs around. We have dining room table. He runs around the dining room table, and she's chasing him. She's chasing him around this dining room table. Now, in our dining room, our living room doesn't sit that far away. You can see the living room where the dining room is, from the dining room. And so I'm sitting in the living room. Now, I'm sitting there watching SportsCenter, and, you know, they keep giving me bad news about my team, so I ain't in really a good mood. But they running around. And so watch this. Don't miss this. Onyx looks up. He changes his posture. And he sees me, and he says, there's my help. There's my help, because this monster is chasing me. Now, I'm going to need y'all to pray for me when I get home, okay? She's chasing me. Life is chasing me. Ups and downs. It's getting hard. All I need to do is change my posture. See, Pastor G, preach. So Onyx changes his posture. And what Onyx will do, he will run, he will slide past my wife, and he will jump in my lap. And then when he stands up, he changes, he gets into another posture like, na, 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 na. Yeah. And so she says, I don't know why you run to him, but don't miss Onyx here. Because I have cared for Onyx. Because I have sacrificed for Onyx. because I have always been there for Onyx. Because Onyx is my baby. He says, I've always been able to go there for help. So I'm going to return there for help. What am I trying to say to you, College Park? We have a God who's in relationship with us. And he's always helped us because he invested in us. There was a sacrifice paid for us. And he says, all you got to do is just come to me. Change your posture. Don't walk around here with your head down and just like life is over. Yes, I know things are hard. But guess what? The maker of heaven and earth is at your disposal. That's good news right there. Listen at this application. God is not an impersonal executive giving orders from on high. He is a present help every step of the way we travel. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, help is on the road and will not fail to reach us in due time. For he who sends it to us was never known to be too late. Jehovah, who created all things, is equal to every emergency. Heaven and earth are at the disposal of him who made them. Therefore, let us be very joyful in our infinite helper. The psalmist shows us that God is our helper. So there's kind of a little debate between the commentary people. Some say in this next phase, he's talking to himself. Some says he's talking, there's somebody else on the scene. And then there's some that says that, you know, he's just kind of talking to the group of people. Now, I kind of lean to the side that he's talking to the group now. Because as he transitions from verses 1 and 2, he goes into verse 3 and 4. He says, we see God is an attentive keeper. Keeper. God upholds us. His unwavering watchfulness and protection. The Hebrew word shamar carries the sense of guarding or keeping. It's used 6 times in this psalm. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And the first thing I see is his care. He will not allow your foot to be moved. How easy would it be to slip or slide, or even sprain an ankle when you're walking on that terrain, that rough terrain in the desert? And you're walking on uneven paths while traveling to God's dwelling place. In the Old Testament, losing one's footing is an expression of a disaster or misfortune. His care for us will keep us from falling and getting us to our final destination. In Psalm 73:2, Asaph says, as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, but my steps had nearly slipped. In Proverbs 3:23, Solomon said, then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. How many gymnastics people we got out there? There are no gymnastics people in here. Really? Okay. All right. I see you. All right. So in gymnastics, you have when you're doing your routines, you have a spotter. Okay? The spotter's job is to make sure you don't fall. God is saying to us, I'm your spotter. I'm your spotter this morning. I got you. I'm going to keep you from falling. I'm going to keep your feet from stumbling. I'm going to keep you. I got you. That's what he's saying in that verse. So as we continue, I see his care, and then I see his vigilance. He who keeps you will not slumber. It is hard to guard anything when you're asleep. When we know that God never sleeps or slumbers, then we can have peace and sleep soundly. God is a nighttime guard who does not doze off. Then the psalmist amplifies his description of God being an attentive keeper by saying, not only can he keep one Israelite, but he can keep watch over the whole nation, covenant Israel. Look at verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. These are his people. He's in covenant relationship with them. He says, I can keep the one psalmist, but I can keep everybody too. I'm the maker of heaven and earth. He says, I will not sleep nor slumber. Y'all remember the battle at Mount Carmel? And you remember they were making fun. They were trying to see whose God was going to show up. And so they were sitting there and they were having this discussion. And Elijah said, is your God asleep? Because he's not doing anything. And so here the psalmist says he doesn't sleep nor slumber. Look at this picture. Look at that father. And look at that child. That's how God keeps us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He says, I got you. You should be resting. You should be at peace. Because remember, the maker of heaven and earth is keeping us. Here's my question for you this morning. If God, who never sleeps nor slumbers, is on guard duty, why then is it that we can't get no sleep and have so much anxiety? Write this one down. We cannot let our worry and fears get ahead of our faith. We cannot let our worry and our fears get ahead of our faith. God's got it. He's big enough. You think of all the things that go on in the earth. It's got to tilt the right ways, spinning on its axis. We're perfectly positioned from the sun. He keeps everything in place. The sun rises every day, goes down every day, and he's been doing it time and time again. Now, if he can do all that, think about your problem. Think about the heels in your life right now. He's got you. He's got your problem. Now, see, I know what you're thinking. God told me what you were going to be thinking this morning. It's not that you doubt that he can help us. You want to know how he's going to do it. See, we want to still have some control in there. God says, don't worry about that. You just keep living your life. I got you. I got you. I'm going to keep you. Okay, so keep moving on. So we have seen God as a trusted helper. We have seen God as an attentive keeper. Now in verse 5 and 6, we see God as a timely protector. He's a timely protector. God's role in safeguarding his people. The Lord is your keeper. Look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The first thing I see here, his presence. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Shade, the Hebrew word for that is selah, S-E-L, also meaning shadow. He's your shadow. It is used here metaphorically. In this context, it stands for protection and defense. Here's the question for you, $1 million question. Where can you walk and your shadow is not with you? Where can you walk and your shadow is not with you? God says, bump your shadow. I'm going to be your shadow. I'm going to be your shadow, the shade on your right hand. Everywhere you go, I am. Everywhere you go, I am. I'm going to be your protection. Now, what is he protecting them from? The sun shall not strike you by day. The psalmist is referring to the scorching Middle East heat, nor the moon by night, the dangers and cold temperatures of the moonlight. So he's protecting them from the elements. Remember, they're traveling on this journey. It may take them 2 or 3 weeks to get there. So they're going to encounter all kind of things. And God's saying, because I'm in relationship with you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to keep you, and now I'm going to protect you. So what I want to do is I want to kind of rewrite verses 5 and 6 so it makes a little bit more sense to us. Okay, so it says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your protector shadow on your right hand. The sun from the scorching Middle East heat will not strike you during the day, nor will the dangers and the cold temperatures of the moonlight night cause you harm on the journey to the place where God dwells. The Lord is a timely protector even from the not so favorable elements. Here's our application. The Lord's presence provides safety and protection over nighttime and daytime problems. He has us covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Where can we go and our shadow is not protecting us? He's got us. So we have seen God as a trusting helper. We have seen God as an attentive keeper. We have seen God as a timely protector. And finally, in verses 7 and 8, we see God is a total preserver. His active and ongoing role as a protective force that safeguards individuals from harm and provides guidance in their lives. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. The psalmist looks at his companions traveling with him and makes a proclamation. He says, the Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. This is referring to how our soul and life is preserved by the Lord. Remember, God has an investment in us. I got plans for you. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has plan and purpose for your life. He has things he wants to accomplish with you. So he's not going to just let anything happen to you, not until he says time is up. But in the meantime, in between time, we just got to keep our focus on him. And he's going to continue to preserve our life. He's going to protect us, our coming in and our going out. We do this every 7 days. We come in here, we go back out. We come in here, we go back out. And he's protecting us each time. And so, I want to show you this. I'm going to do this illustration for you. And so, you see Lowe's up here. And for you, that doesn't mean anything to you. We all know Lowe's. But for me, it was when God showed me how big he really was. And so what happened in 2022, around May, my mother-in-law, she got sick. And so she was in a hospital for, she was in there from June, July, and August. And she had already told her kids, she said, I don't want to be kept alive on machines. And so she passed away the first part of August. And so, California, things are kind of weird. It takes them a long time. When somebody passes away, it takes them a long time to have the funeral and all that good stuff. So we're still in the process of trying to make these arrangements. And so we're coming in here every 7 days. We're still coming in here every 7 days. Pastor Mark, he was doing his thing. He dropped it like it was hot. And we walked out of the sanctuary. We just how we do. We go out there in the atrium, and we was all excited and just having a good time. And so I noticed my wife, she walked away from the group. And so she's on the phone. She's on the phone, and she's talking to her brother. She says, he's telling me my dad has died. And I said, what? This is 20 days later. We haven't even planned the funeral for mom. I said, oh my gosh. We drove home, and we had a friend of ours that was here with us. And she tells Camille, she says, I'll go to California with you. And I said, good. She won't be by herself because I had to stay and watch the baby. So I get up the next morning. Now, before I came on staff at the church, I was working construction. And so I'm in Lowe's picking up some stuff for the guys. And so I'm looking at my watch because I think Camille's flight was, it had left like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm waiting on her to call me and say, you know, I've made it okay. And so I'm in Lowe's, I'm in the aisle. And so I get a call, but it's not Camille, it's my mother. And she says, Garlando, your dad has passed out. She said, your dad has passed out. And I said, are you serious? She said, yes. And I said, is he breathing? She said, yes. She said, I said, Ma, call the ambulance. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm in that aisle at Lowe's, and I got my head down. And we got some of the finest pastors at this church that God has ever created. But there are times even they cannot help you. I didn't have time to call any of them. All I could do was lift my head up and say, God, help me. I need your help. Because sometimes it just keeps coming. It comes in hot and it comes in fast. And you don't even have time to breathe. So a week goes by. Camille comes back from California. During this time, she's going back and forth to California trying to handle things with her family. So she comes back, and now Onyx is sick. He's having trouble breathing. He's making these weird noises. The vet can't figure out what's going on. And so I say, God, please don't take the dog. Please don't take the dog. We've suffered enough loss. He's the one that's keeping us going at this point. But God even touched that spot. And sometimes it just gets so heavy. And you say, I can't breathe. But then if you change your posture, just lift your head up. And you say, when I look to the hills, when I look to the hills, my help is coming from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Why would he help me? Because I'm his child. God wants to help you this morning. What is on your heart this morning that you just feel like God cannot help you? He's the maker of heaven and earth. Whatever is on your heart this morning, God wants to help you. During that time, not only did God help us, he kept us. Now, how did he keep us? He kept me and my wife because we go to a fabulous church. And we got some loving people in this church, and they just put their arms around us. See, I didn't know how the help was coming. I didn't know what the help looked like. But God knew. God doesn't operate on our level. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we came in here, I'll never forget it. We came in this church, and I was walking in the back, and my wife was up here. And you guys just surrounded her. That's how he protected us. That's how he protected us. God is awesome. He is awesome. He helped us. He protected us, he kept us, and he preserved us. Because I know sometimes you think that you're going through so much that my life, I can't deal with it. But he preserved our lives. You know why? Because he had other stuff for us to do. I don't know if we hadn't have gone through that, that I could be your compassion pastor. I don't know if we hadn't have gone through that, I could stand up here and talk to you about it right now. God has plan and purpose for everything he does. Don't give up. Hang in there. Hang in there. Now watch this. Now, for the believer, you understand. I got this great help. I have a father that cares about me. For the non-believer, you saying, okay, Pastor G, you got my curiosity going. How can I have a relationship with this great God? Well, there's one thing we haven't talked about just yet. Humanity needed help. And so God, he said, I'm gonna send my son. I'm gonna send my son, Jesus Christ, and he's gonna lay his life down so that you and I can have a relationship with this great God, the maker of heaven and earth. He said, all you have to do is believe by faith that I died, I was buried, and I rose again, and you can be in a covenant relationship with me. If that is you this morning, at the end of service, find one of these fantastic pastors around here and tell them, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know about this great God that Pastor G has been talking about. Family, God wants to be our helper. God wants to be our keeper. God wants to be our protector. And God is going to preserve us. When I look to the hills, I lifted my eyes. I changed my posture. I lifted my eyes and I looked to the hills. That's where my help is. The maker of heaven and earth, Yahweh, the one I'm in covenant with. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. There is nothing we can do without you. Thank you for being our helper. Thank you for being our keeper. Thank you for being our protector. And thank you for preserving us. Lord, we love you so much. And I pray, Father, whoever is in here who's struggling this morning, I pray, Father, that they have seen you in another way and that they will be encouraged because of your word. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.